The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
News this morning saw a significant step forward for Poolbeg as it secures its first granted patent for PULB001, strengthening its position in the fast-growing cancer immunotherapy market. Joining me today to tell us all about it is Poolbeg CEO Jeremy Skillington. Jeremy, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to be back.
So great news this morning. And as I mentioned, you've secured your first PULB001 cancer immunotherapy-induced CRS patent. Tell us more about it.
It's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
we're delighted. We received formal certificate of grant or a notice of grant for this patent from IP Australia, the Australian Patent Office. So exciting for us. You know, the patent covers the use of any P38 MAP kinase inhibitor, including PULB001, for the prevention of cancer immunotherapy induced CRS. And obviously, you know, getting to this kind of patent grant stage, a lot of work goes into it. You know, this is based on proprietary Poolbeg data. You know, patents were filed, etc. And we're delighted that the coverage for this is so broad, as it does deter competition from coming into this space. So we feel that we have an edge here. As you know, PULB001, it's an orally delivered molecule. Patients can take this from home, and prevention of cancer immunotherapy induced CRS is the ultimate goal. I mean, it's an interesting backstory. You know, we initially filed our oncology patent applications in the UK in January 2026, and we knew we were onto good things, so we filed a patent cooperation treaty application in January 2024, and this kind of helps accelerate examination using you know, patent prosecution highway, and you know, it gets a bit complicated, but it's kind of an international framework that enables an expedited review of these types of patents. And after thorough review, it was favorable patent examination. And again, as I say, very excited to see this moving forward. And as I say, our first one across the line, our first territory across the line.
So why is this patent grant particularly exciting for the company?
It's a good question. I mean, milestone is particularly exciting for us because, you know, it's the first national grant, you know, so that kind of gives us confidence that, you know, maybe others will follow. I mean, that's kind of the way we look at it. You know, there's some independent analysis, independent reviews, but sometimes they kind of sync up, you know, for simple things like looking at prior art, you know, if there's something else out there that somebody looked in this direction, you know, in the past, you wouldn't get a granting. So it kind of gives us confidence, you know, kind of moving forward. And, you know, again, as we're kind of now focused in on the cancer immunotherapy induced CRS, you know, this gives us a little bit of a runway, kind of open space to move forward. I mean, we already have pre-existing patents granted in the influenza space and in the hypercytokinemia space, but since moving into oncology in 2026, you know, we've been aggressive in you know, filing many of these patent applications in different territories, you know, for the, you know, the prevention and treatment of this cancer immunotherapy induced CRS. So it's you know, timing again is perfect for us. You know, as you know, we're rapidly advancing to get you know, clinical trial data. This topical clinical trial, this will be in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma patients, and we're going to have interim data this summer. So again, the timing is perfect when it comes to our partnership discussions. So I think that you know, this kind of coverage in Australia is a starting point, and obviously you know, we're going to build from here.
I don't want to sort of be too obvious a question here, but why does Big Pharma see such value in having patent protection on drugs such as PULB001?
Yeah, it's a very important question. You know, pharma, you know, when they're looking to build and bring programs into their pipeline, like, you know, I've always said the first thing to look at is the data. Does this kind of stack up? You know, is there, you know, does the drug work? Does it, you know, treat or prevent a certain disease? You know, so that's the key point. You know, are you on the right track? But then next in line, they look at the intellectual property, you know, like, is there protection here? So they invest, I mean, big pharma, as we know, invest a lot of money in getting drugs, you know, through development and onto the market. And that could be, you know, costs can run into billions of dollars. You know, there's, you know, clinical trials, regulatory approval, manufacturing, et cetera. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. But getting it on the market is how you recoup that investment. And patent protection kind of enables that. It gives you that exclusivity, a defined exclusive period in the market. You know, no generic competition can come in, for example. So again, this allows them time to recover their, you know, the investment that they've made. And again, fund future research and development. So strong patents, you know, are absolutely critical when it comes to pharma and their kind of due diligence analysis of, you know, PULB001. And of course, that'll be in parallel with the anticipated interim clinical data we'll have in the summer. And we just got back from BioEurope in Lisbon last week. Lots of good discussions with farmer partners there. And I think having the data in hand with the intellectual property granted in Australia, but as I say, the hope is that other territories will follow. Then I think very exciting time for the company, and it as I say, it kind of adds to the value of the program.
Well, you mentioned the sort of the intellectual property portfolio you've got. Now, clearly, this is a huge addition to it, but what are the next steps in expanding that?
We never rest when it comes to kind of IP and patents. As I say, it's the kind of bread and butter we things that we need to do. So we're keen to grow our IP portfolio. We look at continued expansion, and as I say, looking at other territories, is what we're looking forward to. I mentioned earlier on this kind of patent prosecution, prosecution highway. That helps kind of broaden, as I say, the accelerate the reviews of the patents covered in other territories. So again, looking forward to hearing back from these other territories, hopefully in the not too distant future. So it's a case of kind of watch this space. But as I say, in parallel, then we're kind of pushing forward aggressively with the topical clinical trial. And as you know, we're going to test these relapsed refractory multiple myeloma patients who receive teclistamab, a drug provided to us free of charge from Johnson & Johnson, who've been a great partner in this process. And as I say, having interim data in the summer will lead to many interesting, exciting discussions, partnering discussions. So full steam ahead from Poolbeg.
Well, Jeremy, thank you. I think this news is a clear demonstration of the progress of both the IP and clinical fronts. So, and I'm sure investors are looking, looking at this and seeing a strong foundation being laid for future partnering and value creation. So, congratulations, and looking forward to hearing some more clinical milestones in the near future. So, thank you very much for your time.
Too far. Yeah, appreciate it too. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.